great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. While we're on our feet, let's get our word out. We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Everyone has it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start at the, only two verses today of scripture. But I know everybody got their pencils and paper because you know how I do. We have homework. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start at the ninth verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 10, as it reads, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for loving us when we was unlovable. We thank you for holding us when we didn't know where to turn. As we take upon this time to study your word, let it resonate in our minds and in our hearts. And let the application of what we learned be applied in our lives. We love you. We are nothing without you. Use me, Heavenly Father, to encourage, to inspire, and to give you the honor, glory, and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this prayer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we have quite a few scriptures to go through. I won't be before you long. I promise. No, really. Because you know today is a national holiday. So we can't be long. Because we're not getting paid. So the title of this message today is Help Me, Holy Ghost. Woo! Help Me, Holy Ghost. Help Me, Holy Ghost. As I was with you before we shared, we talked about our process, which is the prepared road outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. Y'all remember that process? Okay. Well, in that process, we talked about God's goal and his process, and we talked about Christ's goal and his process. So we need to conclude it with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit's goal and his process. Help me, Holy Ghost. So as Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us that in verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." So, if you are born again, the Spirit of God lives in you. In every believer, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, lives in you. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, that now if he is not living in you, then you're not Christ.
That's right.
So keep that in mind. If the Holy Ghost is not dwelling in you, you are not Christ. You are not his. Amen? And then 10 says that because you are in Christ, or because Christ is in you, because you are his, our body, the physical body, is going to die. Because that is the consequences of sin. Thanks to the fall of man in the beginning. So we're all going to, our physical body is always is going to perish. We will die. That is the consequences of sin. However, we live and we are alive because of righteousness, the justification, a decree of acquittal, an ordinance. That is what Christ did for us. That was his justification. So now that we are dead in the body, we still continue to live in Christ. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now, so we reviewed about God. The Holy Ghost has always been on the scene. We reviewed that in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, when God said, let us, it was God, it was Jesus Christ, and it was the Holy Ghost. They were moving as the Trinity usually moves. Okay? So that was in the beginning. And then we reviewed how the Holy Ghost was with Jesus when he was getting ready to set in motion his goal and his process when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. That's Matthew 3:16. Amen. And the heavens opened up and the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and sat on his shoulder. The Holy Ghost was with Jesus. Amen. Amen. So now we need to see how the Holy Ghost is moving on his own now. Not so much he's by himself, because it still is God the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But in a moment, I'm going to tie that in with how we are at where we are today with the title, Help Me, Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, God is so dynamic because he does things grand. You know, he does things so grand in the beginning after he created every living thing and we were his prized masterpiece. And after he created us on the seventh day, he rested. 7 being the number of completion. Right. Amen.
Amen.
And then after Christ had gone through everything, and then God had to send Jesus Christ down in the form of man, reincarnate him in the form of man, because time after time after time after time, he's given mankind a chance to show who they were. But he finally had to show us that we cannot save ourselves because of lack of faith and obedience. The sacrificial offerings that we were giving back in the Old Testament just wasn't good enough. It just wasn't good enough. So because it wasn't good enough, and because of the love that he had for us, he decided that he had to bring his son down to show us the way, the process. Amen. Amen. So now it's time for the Holy Ghost job to be in us. But before then, and I'm talking about how dynamic God is, after Jesus Christ walked with us, his last seven words and the last seventh saying was, "It is finished." Now God said in the beginning, after he created all of us on the seventh day, and it was good, and it was very good, "It's finished. I can rest on the seventh day." Christ came down and showed us how to walk this path. And after he was crucified, you know that he knew he had to go down that road. That was his goal. His seventh saying, his last words was, "It is finished." Seven is the number of completion. God completed. Christ completed. Holy Ghost is in his completion. And that is working through us. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Pray. He's awesome. Now, we have to keep in mind that the Holy Ghost is anointed, is a person, and just like God the Father, God the Creator, he is to be used. What our problem is today is that we do not allow the Holy Ghost to do his job. Help me, Holy Ghost. We are not accessing the Holy Ghost the way we are supposed to. We are not allowing him to be tied in doing his job. Now, how would you like it? You go to work every day, and somebody come on your job in your space and try to do your job. And they don't know what they're doing. Don't know nothing about it. Well, that's who we are, and that's what we do. We want to do things ourselves. So I can just imagine Holy Ghost. Now, I'm a sports fanatic. I love each and every sport. A month ago, we were sitting up there watching rugby. Don't know anything about it, but I'm going to learn the rules, because it was pretty exciting. But, so, you know, when you have players, you have starters, and then you have those that are in reserve. You got your second string and your third string. I can imagine, so, God the Father is the starter. Jesus Christ is the second string. And so here's the Holy Ghost, the third string. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I want to get in. Now, don't take it lightly. It's not like the Holy Ghost has never been on the scene, but he's coming in a different way now. Okay? And I'm going to show you how he's coming in. Now, so the Holy Ghost is sitting there saying, "Put me in." Well, Jesus is like, "I done put you in. I done told them about you. I told them I was sending you." Okay? And God is sitting up here saying, "Lord, my people are still suffering from lack of knowledge." And they're sitting up there, and it's the three of them. They're sitting up there. And God and Jesus like, "Didn't we send Paul?"
Right.
"Didn't we see Paul?" Right. "We sent Paul to And Jesus is like, yeah, we did. We did. But you know, Father, they need more. You know why they need more, Father? Because they are focused or consumed or worried about their humanly spirit, the natural man, and not about their eternal spirit. And unfortunately, that's why they're suffering. Unfortunately, that's why they're not calling on you, Holy Ghost, because they're still trying to do this themselves. So you know what we got to do? We got to keep sending you back out there, because we done did what we were supposed to do. We did. We had a prepared road outline created. For eternal life through salvation from the Savior. Now, but we're going to keep sending you back out there because, see, what they need to know is they need to know how to enter in the kingdom of God. Or the kingdom of heaven. They need to know these things. They need to know that from the beginning, I have had rules. From the beginning. And these rules had to be established, has to be reestablished in their hearts now. And they also need to know how to overcome the forces of evil. They need to be removed from all consequences of sin. Now, the only way that you can do this is to be walking in that path. Christ in you. And if Christ is in you, that means the Holy Ghost is with you. So, Christ came. He did what he was supposed to do. He said, I am sending you someone. You don't believe me? Let's go there. Let's go to John chapter 14. And I want you guys to write these scriptures down and go back and research them. Research, remember, reiterate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now mind you, he was talking to the disciples because he's getting ready to make his transition. But it still resonates today in our lives. That still means today. So whatever that you was taught in this word here, the Holy Ghost is what brings it to remembrance. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, and real quick, I've been toiling with this for quite some time. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost, help me, Holy Ghost. And there's a couple of things that I needed to finish up, correct? So I was kind of like procrastinating. You know how we do. We procrastinate on some things that we know we need to. But I'm going to get to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know, I said the same thing. And then, this is how the Holy Ghost works. See, you got to be in tune. You got to stay in the Word to be in tune to hear. Because this is what happened. My mother texted me, and she says, so in her text, she says, what
is the title of, what is the title of the, what's the theme for the convention this year, for your church anniversary? What's the theme? And what's the scripture? And I'm sitting up there watching sports, of course. And my phone, I said, what's the theme? What's the scripture? And I'm asking Pastor, what's the scripture? So of course I text my sister and text my other sister, what's the scripture? Because Pastor don't remember. And so I'm like, what's the theme? What's the scripture? But see, that's how the Holy Ghost was able to move me out of my procrastination. Because as I was given that information, I went to the Word to read the theme, the scripture for the church anniversary theme, and the Holy Ghost said, now get back to what you were supposed to be doing. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's the Holy Ghost. I was listening to the Holy Ghost. Because, and the Holy Ghost would use people. The Holy Ghost will use situations. The Holy Ghost will use circumstances. Now, just like God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost is sovereign too. He comes and goes as he pleases. Okay? And that is, write that scripture down. John 3. Verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So they're saying, so now, and Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Now, he's saying, you don't know where the wind coming and going. You don't know how the wind blow. You can't command the wind to come and blow on you. So anyone that is in of Christ, you can't command the Holy Spirit to come upon you. It's going to come upon you as you are a born again believer. Amen. Amen. And that's what we have to keep in mind, that we are his creator. Now, as the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our helper moving in our lives, write this scripture down. Galatians chapter 5 and verse, there's a couple of verses. Now we already know about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Verses 22 through 23. But verse 16, in order for you to know the fruits of the Spirit and to walk and to be in the fruits of the Spirit, you have to be able to walk in that Spirit. Amen? And verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, our flesh is in the natural. Okay? And the Spirit is in the supernatural. But the only way that you can walk in that Spirit is you have to be born again. And you have to be, I'm sorry, not have to be, but you must be born again. The love of Christ has to be in you. And it's the agape love that he has for you, unconditional, no matter what you have done in the past, he still loves you. Guess what? We have to exercise that same love. Amen. How can we sit up here and say we are born again believers, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet our sister and brother are in need and we don't have time? Are we not being hypocrites of the word? Are we not being hypocrites of who God is in us? We have to, and you know, this is my favorite saying, Pastor tell you all the time, to stop talking about it and be about it. We are, and let me tell you, wait a minute, we're going to have to go there. Go to Romans 8:23. Write that down too. Romans 8:23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our, for the redemption of our body." We are the first fruits of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Why? Because he decided that the Jews who rejected Christ when he came down, and they knew that it was going to happen, God says that through the Gentiles, the Israelites will be redeemed. We are first fruits. We're first fruits of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, because even though Jesus told his disciples that I'm leaving the comfort with you, it wasn't being moved. Paul came through and continued to reiterate that in the Gentiles and the Jews and the Greeks, any and everybody who was able to, who was willing to accept the word of God, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, will be able to walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, because we are the first fruits, we have that evidence. The evidence is our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And then the pledge is our future inheritance. It's coming.
Amen?
Amen. I like that. And that down payment. Down payment for what he's already promised us. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, there's a couple of things I want to, I want you to write this down. Okay? When I spoke earlier, when the triune was meeting and they were talking about what we were not doing as a people, okay? Well, when God had said to Jesus, "Didn't we send Paul to tell them about the mysteries?" Check it out. Write this down. Colossians 1:26-27. Now, I want you to write this down because that's something that you really, really, really need to study and you really need to get it in your spirit. Amen? It says, verse 26, "Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." So the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. history that was withheld. But the reason why I said go back and study it is to get it in your spirit. Get it in your spirit. That means Christ in you. He already paid the way. And he sent the teacher, which is the Holy Ghost, to remind you of what he did for you. So guess what? No matter what, no matter who, no matter how, no matter why, no matter when, and no matter where, Christ is always in you. That's your hope of glory. You can overcome. We are overcomers. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for overcoming. Now, there's one more I need to take you to. Not one more, it's two more. But the first one was, now remember the triune was having this conversation about what we was not doing. Okay? We were not utilizing the Holy Ghost. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. No thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ. In them they are saved, and in them that perish. And what it's saying is, y'all, we keep saying we got this. We don't. We really don't. And we need to stop acting like it. We need to stop acting like it. Because once we lose our focus on the heavenly things, it is the humanly things that blocks us. We got a cloud over us. Amen? And it is not for us to be clouded. It's not for us to be clouded. Amen? It is not for us to be clouded. We're supposed to be clear about who we are and about whose we are. We have to be clear about that. Right. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing about the Holy Ghost, about us suffering from our lack of knowledge. But let me tell you how Holy Ghost ain't no joke. When I tell y'all the Holy Ghost has sovereignty, he does. We already know he was with God when we were created, right? And we know that he was with Jesus when he was baptized for his mission, right? Okay. Well, write these scriptures down. And I'm not going to go there, but I want you to write them down. The Holy Ghost is something else. Now, you think you make God mad and Jesus mad, make the Holy Ghost mad. See what happened. Numbers chapter 11, verse 25-29. At this particular time, Moses, they are camped outside the tabernacle. And the Holy Ghost came upon 70 elders. And they were able to speak, and they were able to prophesy, but they was only able to do it one time. However, the Holy Ghost used two individuals. It was two elders. It was Eldad and Medad. They continue to prophesy. They continue to minister. They continue to be used because the Holy Ghost was upon them. So Joshua, being young in the ministry at that time, you know how we are young in the ministry and we're gung-ho and we're ready to do this, and And I hear Pastor Roper tell the story all the time. When he was young, he wanted God to just slay everybody. Who ain't not lined up, just slay them all, because I'm new. And everybody should be like me now. But Moses had to remind Joshua, even at his youthness, that the Holy Ghost is not for us to be jealous of.
Right.
The Holy Ghost that comes upon you is come upon you.
Right.
And Moses had to remind Joshua, I wish that God would be able to have the Holy Ghost upon more people to be able to prophesy, to be able to give the word to. That is the Holy Ghost being used. Now, we can't be jealous. We're not going to be jealous of those individuals who are able to move in different spirits with the Holy Ghost. What we are to do is we are to congratulate and stay close to the fire. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now the Holy Ghost, now write these scriptures down. Judges 3:10. All of these scriptures are in Judges. So the first individual that I'm speaking of is Othniel. The Holy Ghost was upon Othniel and he was in battle. You know, in Judges, the book of Judges, there was a lot of battling going on. And when the Israelites, you know, didn't want to be that close to God, but send me somebody that can be in between.
Yeah.
They needed mediators. They didn't want to go themselves. Which, unfortunately, I mean, yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because now we can go ourselves. Amen? Y'all don't need me or the pastors. Y'all can go yourself. That's what you have now. That's what the Holy Ghost is in you now because you were born again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in Judges, the Holy Ghost came upon all of those individuals in the book of Judges. Came upon Othniel to deliver his people. That is Judges 3:10. Judges 6:34, he was with Gideon. And I'm speaking of the Holy Ghost as a person because it is. He is a person. Amen?
Amen.
Judges 11:29, he was with Jephthah. Judges 14:6-19, he was with Samson. And then the Holy Ghost was also upon our boy that created the line, David. Write that scripture down, 1 Samuel 16:13. So you talk about the Holy Ghost as the protector. Okay? Let me tell you, and I told you, remember I told y'all about his wrath? Write this down, and I want you to go read this. Numbers, chapter 12. Now, Miriam and Aaron, now, see, Moses is up here doing about being about God's business. Okay? And it's hard when you brought somebody out of bondage. A lot of people think they want to be released from bondage, but they really can't see themselves being drawn out of bondage because they think it's easier to be where they were. Amen. As opposed to moving how God will have you to move. We do that in our lives today. If God tells you that that job is not for you anymore, it's not for you anymore. But we get caught up because it's convenient, and we think God put us here and we don't want to leave. But God says that's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. But when you're in the Word, you can hear Him say, it's time to go. Unlike that movie that say, get out. But in chapter 12, we get to see the wrath of the Holy Ghost. Now, Pastor always says this scripture, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. That's scripture. talking about it, that was scripture. And y'all want proof? Read Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron, Moses, you know, right hands, left and right hands, that was, you know, he thought was had his back because he was doing the will of God. They over there in the corner talking about him. Talking about Moses. Now Moses didn't hear it. But guess what? When God said he will fight your battles, he will fight your battles. And you don't even have to know anything about it. Okay? Let me tell you how he moved. He said, Moses, call Aaron and Miriam. He called Aaron and Miriam, and they came over there. And God came down in a cloud. The Holy Ghost came down in a cloud. And he said, now this man of God right here is doing everything that I told him to. And y'all gonna sit up here and talk about him? And he's doing everything I told him to do? And he didn't hear y'all talking about him. But y'all, I heard. Don't you think God don't know everything that's going on in our lives? Okay? Now, the Busy Body Club could be over there talking about you, but God heard me. Okay? So if something automatically, something just astronomically happened with the Busy Body Club, just say thank you, Lord. And so he told them, he said, now y'all sit up here talking about the man of God, and I'm over here got this man working, and he done elevated y'all to be up there with him, and y'all gonna do this behind his back? The Holy Ghost? And angry. And he says, I will remove myself from y'all. Turned away. The cloud that was over them in this conversation moved from them. And when the cloud moved from them, Mary was filled with leprosy. That's the wrath. You cannot touch God. So anybody that's in your life, in and around your life, that think they got control over you, think that they're using you and going to use you and abuse you and mistreat you. No. God got you. Trust and believe the Holy Ghost is working on your behalf, baby. Working on your behalf. But remember this now. Remember who you are and whose you are. Because in the same instance, Aaron goes to Moses and say, Moses, please. Please. Because you know when you're unclean, you got to be outside the camp. You can't be a part of that. You can't be a part of it. So while you was out, so while Mary had been put out, because she got to talking, spewing on a child of God, and y'all remember that. Don't be spewing on child of God, children of God, excuse my English. Because you don't want it to come back on you. Okay? Remember, when you point a finger, one is pointing back, but three of them is coming back at you. Remember that. But at the same time, you got to remember to have mercy and love for those individuals. And that's what Moses did. And Moses went and prayed on the behalf of Aaron and Miriam. Awesome story. Numbers, but that's the Holy Ghost in the wrath. Remember that. He will fight your battles as well. That's why Jesus sent him. He was in the flesh. Jesus was in the flesh. And he was performing all kinds of miracles to show that he was 100% divine and walking amongst every person. Be it a crook, a criminal, that he was 100% human. We have to remember that. Everybody around us is not saved.
That's right.
You got to let your light shine. Let your light shine. And just because they are not saved does not mean you can't interact with them. You have to be the example. Set it. Set the example. Be the example. That's what Jesus did. We're not going to be like the scribes and the Pharisees. Holier than thou. And no earthly good. We're not going to be like that. We're going to be like Christ. Amen. Amen. They talking about be like Mike. I like Mike in his heyday. But where is Mike now? Huh? Where is he now? He living his life. He ain't thinking about us. But that's what Jesus comes in at. That's why I say be like Christ. Because when you like Christ, he ain't going to leave you. Amen. He was here 2,000 years ago. And he's still here today. He's living in us. And he's giving us the Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. He's giving us the Holy Ghost so that we will continue to move in him. Give the Lord a hand clap. Pray. Now let me tell you. So I was told, I was instructed. I was instructed. And I don't normally do this. But I was instructed to give definitions in Hebrew. So remember that conversation that the triune was having? God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost? And they were talking about how we wasn't using the Holy Ghost. And I said that God said, man, my people still suffering from lack of knowledge? Okay, go to Hosea. Chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Just so y'all know, when we say that, we mean that. It's scriptural. Okay? Write it down. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. I'm going to stop right there. So, the Hebrew word for destroy is kabal. It means to ruin. It means to corrupt. It means to hurt. The Hebrew word for knowledge is da'ah. Or yada. Da'at is an extension of yada. It means to know. Understanding. To be aware. To discern. Instruction. And the Hebrew word for reject is zanah. That means to push aside. To forsake. Fail. To cast or remove away. Our people for so long, and when I say so long, I'm talking about in the years that I've been alive, in the years that you've been alive, have suffered from lack of knowledge. They've been destroyed. They've been cast away because we do not want to take the instructions out of this word of God because we reject the word of God. God is rejecting those individuals. That was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, if we do not continue to study the word of God, guess what? We still will be rejected because we are not living the word. If you study, there's application. And after application, there is duplication. Because what people see you do, then they're going to want to see what you do. Amen? I'm studying the word of God. I'm applying the word of God in my life So someone who sees my life change of how I used to be, they might want to duplicate that. Instruction, application, duplication. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap and pray. Now this is how, I want you to write these two scriptures down. This is how the word of God correlates with the power. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. That's how powerful the Holy Ghost is in correlation with the Word of God. You can't have the Holy Ghost on you if you're not studying the Word of God. Remember, He's sovereign too. He comes and goes like the wind. And if you want Him to stay on you, stay in the Word. I want the Holy Ghost to stay on me. That means I gotta stay in the Word. Help me, Holy Ghost. I be wanting to bless some people out. But I remember that I am a born again creature. My mind is constantly being renewed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And when I learn how the newness of my mind is, then I am excited. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. Bear with me, guys, because I want to show you something that renews my mind daily. I got a Bible and a daily word at every job site I work at. And it dictates me ever so much of 5 minutes to read this word. And you know what? I've learned down through the years that when I take this, that one scripture that they tell you to go back and read, that little one passage, then I go up a little, go to the beginning of the chapter. Or I go take the chapter from the beginning to the end. And then now it has something else going on that's clicking in my mind. Oh, wow, that was something else that I had read. You know what? That tied into what I was going through last week. It gives you the unction of wanting to stay in the Word. And guess what you're doing? You're meditating daily on His Word. So guess what? The Holy Ghost is not going to leave you. Why? Because Christ is in you. I dare you. I dare you. I never dog dare. Take one quart. And you know these books come out quarterly. Take one quart. That means one book. And I'm not saying that you're going to read it every day at the same time. But take one quart. One quart. And if you read it daily, and then you go back and read it out of that Bible, what that lesson is that they want you to understand, you will develop your study habits and your study life. One quarter. Try God. He has never let us down, has He not? He's always been there for us, hasn't He? Amen. And guess what? He gives us what we need to be equipped. He's given us everything that we need to be equipped. I love how individuals, this is called a resource. This is your tool. And this is a resource. So use your resources to get back in your tools. Amen? Get a lot of hand clap and pray. All right, guys. Last but not least, this is our conclusion. I want you to go to 1 John. Remember, the prepared road outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. We talked about God's process, Christ's process, the Holy Ghost, His process in us to create eternal life. Amen? Amen. 1 John chapter 2. And it said, in verse 27, it says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's the Holy Ghost abiding in you. That's what it is. Your process, your work, your responsibility is to stay in him, is to call on him, is to be used. The Holy Ghost, that's his job. The Holy Ghost's job is your promise to eternal life. That's being in you. So, when other people come in and try to give you false doctrines, false teaching, they will not be able to. Because the anointing of God is in you, is upon you, is moving through you. Amen? Yeah. Amen. You know, like the Scientology, that religion that most actors and stuff are in, they tell you, oh, you got to get higher. You got to get higher knowledge. You got to get higher knowledge. You got to get higher knowledge. The Bible, God's word, is not for reinvention. Okay? It's not even for new revelation. Unless you have not read something that you had read before. That's where the new revelation come in. It's revealed knowledge. But it's nothing reinvented. So can't nobody come and tell you something new. And guess what? It's true. This word is true. There is nothing unveiling about this word of God. So when people try to come and tell you, or try to come up to you and tell you, you got to go higher with laying on hands, you got to go higher with tarrying. No, you got to go higher in the word. It is unveiling. It never, never, never. And I'm just going to take us on to next week. It never loses its power.
Amen.
Just like the blood of Jesus. The word never loses its power. It tells us, and everything that you need, your daily Christian living, your daily meditation, the necessity for our lives is this Bible.
Amen.
That is what we do. That is who we are. Our role that's prepared and is outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. So now that we have heard everyone's goal and their process, now you know what yours is. Daily meditation. Daily application. And I guarantee you, you will create daily duplication. Everyone on your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. use me. Thank you. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. There's none like you, Father. Thank you for the knowledge you have bestowed upon us. If we don't have 1,000 tongues, we can't thank you enough, Lord. You're worthy.